It is Friday, October 22nd. Welcome to Menace of Sports. I am Zach Smith, your host. Excited to talk today. We have an awesome guest coming on. I hinted to it a week ago that he was going to come on last week. Ended up having a conflict, so he came on this week because he is Darren Lee, former Buckeye great, 2014 national champion, is going to join us on the show to talk all things. Big thing is this Ohio State team is very eerily similar to the 2014 team. And I know that's a media narrative that they want to drive because it sounds good and sells whatever tickets and website clicks. I get that, but I'm here and I'm bringing Darren in because he's going to talk a lot about kind of where there are marriages between the two teams in 2 years. And he has some insider info into how the defense developed in 2014 that makes it even more similar than anyone else is talking about, because what he's going to talk about is really, I mean, I didn't even think of it really. And when he brought it up, I was like, shit, it is so similar. So anyways, Darren's going to come on. We're going to talk about a bunch of things, though. How it was to be coached by Luke Fickell. What Darren Lee said to the Michigan offensive line before the first play of the 2015 rivalry game. And I didn't even know he did it, but he just told us on the show. And it's like, holy shit, that is an all-time great story. So he's going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Luke Fickell's Cincinnati team, talk about his recruiting saga, how he got recruited, just really a insider account into one of the Buckeye greats, you know, the last decade or two, really, or of all time. So we're going to talk to him. He's going to come in. I'm also going to give you a quick analysis of this Indiana team because I think it's relevant. There's no good college football games this weekend other than, I've already mentioned it and I'll mention it again, Iowa State is going to beat Oklahoma State, take them back down to reality. So if you want to pop that one in the Zach Smith predictions, go ahead and do it. Iowa State over Oklahoma State, and it's going to happen. So bank that, book that. I'm going to talk about Indiana a little bit and then get to Darren and his content. Also want to mention Menace to Picks on Patreon, going nuclear. I don't know what else to tell you. Like, 150 units again yesterday. Already today, as I'm recording, I'm getting to the text that all the soccer picks we put out today are hitting, going nuclear again today. I don't know what to tell you. If you signed up before, we had a cold streak in the winter last year, or this year, I guess, 2021 winter. Went a little cold, bounced back, and it's better than it ever was. So if you unsubscribe from us, come back and check it out. It's back to being, I mean, absolutely stupid. It's patreon.com/menace2picks. So check that out. Also, have to tell you, October 30th, going to be a huge event. Braxton Miller's Charging brand and his foundation, and then our foundation, are going to be down at the Point on Lane, tailgating 2.5 hours before the Penn State game. What is it, 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock kick, 7:30 kick? Either way, we'll be down there. All the information is on our social media. Revelry Tavern's catering the event, along with Shade on the Canal Wings. We're going to have Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, which is unbelievable there. Buckeye Vodka, crisp, beautiful vodka. And then we have Corona Beer, Bud Light, you name it. Captain Morgan's. I mean, we have, there's one other one. I can't forget them. What is it? It doesn't matter. Anyways, just the bar will be stocked and flowing, and the food is going crazy. $50, all you can eat, all day and night, and then two drink tickets included. Drink tickets are only $5, so you're not spending $8-$10 like at the Varsity Club right next door. So go check it out on my social media, on Braxton's social media, all over the place. Come hang out with us. I'm going to see if Darren Lee wants to come too. We'll ask him at the end of the show maybe. And there'll be other former players there, current players, families, all that. And it's going to be a great time, great vibe, really cool atmosphere. Have music playing, 3 huge TVs to watch the game. If you don't have tickets, still come and hang out and watch the game with us. So that's what we got for you. One other thing, Ryan Day will approve this message. One of our sponsors that was on the last show, we're going to get to them right now. I'm huge on mental health. I work on mine every day. And this sponsor, when it popped up in my inbox, I jumped at it because I'm so fired up to pass this valuable resource along to you. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. I want to talk about this for a minute because this is something that means a lot to me. Obviously, everything that I went through, mental health is it's a huge deal over across the country, and it's a huge deal to me. So when this sponsor approached our show, I obviously jumped at the chance to add them to our sponsor reel. And it's an unbelievable opportunity for you. Everyone, really. Everyone needs mental health development and awareness. And it's really, I thought about it. It's like, all right, is there something preventing you from achieving your goals, or what interferes with your happiness, right? And if you go to betterhelp.com/menace, it's an unbelievable network where they will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist, whether it's depression, stress, anxiety, sleeping, anger, family conflicts, you name it. They can find a licensed therapist in a secure online environment to get you working on your mental health. I mean, all of it without ever having to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room, without leaving your house, driving to a therapy appointment. You can talk to someone online at betterhelp.com/menace. So you'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions. It honestly only, you can get, in under 48 hours, you could be talking to someone. And if you don't do that now, I highly recommend it. I do it, and there's no shame in it anymore. It's 2021. It's all about bettering yourselves. And all I would say is there's testimonials on their site. I checked it out when they contacted me, and it's been awesome. I'm so excited for my journey. Wanted to share it with you. Obviously, they're sponsoring the show, but even bigger than that, with Ryan Day's initiative on mental health awareness and everything in Buckeye Nation that is going on with mental health awareness, this is an unbelievable opportunity. I want you to start living a happier life today. As a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting our sponsor at betterhelp.com/menace. Join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health. Again, it's betterhelp.com/menace. There you have it. Get your mental right, man. That's what this world is all about. Get your mental health right. There's too much going on out there, too much stress, a lot of anxiety. So get your mental health right. They'll get you to the right professional and just let you talk to somebody. So enough about all that, though. Let's get to the show.
Watches downfield. It's Olave. He's got a touchdown, Ohio State.
Why am I talking to you? You're not even in football.
Yeah.
Did you even play to the high school level? You took journalism. It's a bunch of nerds interrupting people who know what they're doing.
It goes to the corner, dives to the corner. He didn't get there. No, they say he did. And Indiana wins.
The commissioner could literally punt a baby with his wingtips on. I'm still going to watch on Sunday.
Looking for the deep ball.
I don't condone the man's actions, but it's football. I have to watch it. This is all I have.
On first down, it's Breece Hall. He doesn't go down. He might go all the way. He stays on his feet again and scores.
I wasn't going to hit a woman, but then that guy in the Ravens did it, so I guess it's okay.
All right, episode 171. We got a lot to talk about, but I don't know. We don't have a segment for this. Dumbass Coach of the Week. Like, we have Dumbass Sports Media Personality of the Week. I guess we could say Dumbass Former Sports Media Personality or Dumbass Soon to Be Again Media Personality. My guy, Bert Bielema. We've talked about him a lot early in the show. Just stories about him at Arkansas and him at Wisconsin being a whiny little bitch, a fat bitch at that, a whiny fat bitch. And so I want to play his audio first before I get to his qualifying statements and response to the outrage, because Bert Bielema has some reasons why they can't win, and it's not the coaches, it's not a good of a job they're doing, it's nothing to do with the staff, it's that they don't have any players, man. So let's hear what Bert had to say first, and then let's talk about his rebuttal.
I just know this, as a head coach, you're only as good as your roster, right? I kind of learned that the first time I went to the Kentucky Derby, right? Nobody was betting on the jockeys. Everybody was betting on the horses, right? So to win a Derby, you got to have the right horse. And I think our players are going to be a reflection of what our program stands for. I stood at the front of the room last year when I took over and said everybody is invited back because of COVID. They gave me the opportunity to do that. But as this roster continues to transition, I've got to make tough decisions. Players have to make decisions. The roster is going to have to change to get to where we want to be to win a championship. So I recognize that probably midway through the spring last year, through the summer, just certain positions haven't maybe played out the way they envisioned them to. In particular, the offensive line, I don't believe we have a player in the two deep that they've recruited here over the last 3 years that is really significantly doing anything for us. In the playing department, and that's a major concern, right? So that's something that we have to do. Top two quarterbacks that have played to this point are both transfers, right? So there hasn't been any development at that position that is significantly playing right now. Isaiah was that guy, but he's obviously playing a wide receiver position in Deuce. So Defensively, we knew there was going to be an evolution just kind of on the style of defense that we played. We got to definitely get a lot of bigger bodies, I believe, up front to get what we want to get done to play in this league at a consistent level. So there's things that we're definitely evolving every day. And as a head coach, I think I have to prioritize my recruiting.
So hold on, man. This man said they don't have anyone in there too deep on the offensive line that's doing anything playing-wise, which, one, I don't understand entirely what that means. Like, in your two deep, you certainly have guys that are playing, right? Guys that are playing in your two deep. Your two deep is your starters and backups. So they're playing, maybe not to the level you want. And then he goes on, and I understand it, right? It was a clickbait deal the media did because they asked him about recruiting, but it doesn't change what he actually said. So here's what Bert said his comments about personnel Monday were completely taken out of context. Says he wasn't talking about current Illini roster. Bielema showed the entire transcript of his comments to his team Tuesday. Okay, you absolutely were, Bert. You were talking about your current roster. I understand completely that this was about recruiting, right? It was a question about recruiting, and he was trying to talk about recruiting, but in doing so, he talked about how they needed bigger guys up front on defense to compete in this league, aka they don't have good enough guys up front to compete in this league now. How they have their entire two deep, and the guys the last 2 years are not playing or contributing. That is an indictment on those kids that are on your team and not playing. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Like, you definitely were talking about your current team and roster. Like, you can't just backtrack out of it. Like, oh, I was just talking about recruiting. No, the fuck you weren't. You sat there and were talking about, not by name, but position-specific things about your team, you fat fuck. Don't backpedal out of this. You should just say, I apologize. I shouldn't have said those things about my current team. I love my team. That's all you should have done. And, oh, I went through the entire transcript with my team. Your team is looking at you like you're so fucking full of shit. It's not even funny. That's the worst thing you could do as a coach, is start trying to, like, paint a picture that's not what I meant, guys. Here, look. Look at this piece of paper that shows it. Man, they see right through your ass. Players always do. So, sorry, I had to get that rant off my chest because our buddy Bert decided to throw his players under the bus. We know, everyone knows Illinois doesn't have a loaded roster. You don't even have to say that. All you got to do is talk about what you're looking for in the future in recruiting to answer that question. Oh, anyway, so I want to talk, before we get to Darren Lee coming on the show, as I mentioned, going to talk a lot about the 2014 team and the comparison to this year's team. I want to talk about Indiana. Just give you a preview of Indiana. It's really the only game, like I already mentioned it, outside of the fact Iowa State's going to beat Oklahoma State. Indiana, Ohio State is, I mean, I guess it's one of the better games this weekend. It's really not, though. So I want to talk about Indiana. Let's just going to be brief, just to give you an idea of what you're going to see. One thing that the first thing that jumps off film when you watch Indiana is they do a ton of what's called FSL, formation into the sideline, right? Normally, if the ball's on the left hash, the majority of your guys in your formation, like receivers and shit, right, they'll be on the right, right? Because on the left hash, you have way more room on the right. Most defenses work on that and prepare on that. Everything they do is built around that. Indiana loves to put one receiver to the field and three receivers to the boundary. That's called FSL. It creates problems, right? Because let's say you play a field and boundary linebacker, which Ohio State does not for the most part. But let's say you did. That boundary linebacker is not used to walking out and covering guys in space. He's used to being in the box. So it causes problems. It also it can cause a problem if you play right and left linebackers, where strong and weak linebackers, the guy that's normally to the field flips into the boundary, and now that guy that's to the field that's normally protected to the boundary with a short field, right, the sideline's close to him, he's got a ton of field to cover out there. If they run sweeps, tosses, if they just run a flat route by the tailback, just it creates so many problems for a defense, and they have an outstanding package of FSL. So get ready to that for a ton of that. Their tight end is a solid player. They get him the ball a lot of different ways, screens, shovels, things like that. But the reality is this. They can't run the football. They're 11th in the Big Ten running the football. 2.5 yards per carry against Iowa, 3.7 yards per carry against Michigan State, so a little better this past week. They don't have a running back in the top 25 in yards per carry in the Big Ten. I mean, it's average QB play with below average skill at running back. You talk about QB, the man, Jack Tuttle. Chris Olave's high school quarterback was committed to Utah. I actually don't know if he went to Utah and transferred. I think he did. He went to Utah, transferred to Indiana. So I know him well, watched him in high school. He is simply young and not very polished. He's not ready to take on the Ohio State Buckeyes. He's just not. Just some analytics to back up that statement, if you don't trust me. He's 2-for-11 on deep balls this year, which is, I mean, absurdly low. 4-for-21 over 10 yards. So whatever that is, 23% over 10 yards. That's atrocious. 26% under pressure. Like, this is not a trap game for Ohio State, okay? This is not a trap game for this defense. This defense, this is a great opportunity against a really, really poor opponent on in Indiana's offense to show out and really make something happen and develop and grow and stop the pass, stop the run, and honestly have a dominant game. I think they're probably, honestly, this Indiana team's not as good as Rutgers or Maryland, really. I don't think so. I think Rutgers and Maryland will beat this team. You look at their defense is pretty good. I would give their defense a solid 7 out of 10. I mean, Michigan State only scored 2 touchdowns last Saturday on this defense. One of them was a pick 6, so it wasn't on this defense. The other one was an interception to put them on the 40 going in. Then they actually scored on a crazy hard play action trick play. So they're not just dumb. I mean, they're not getting scored on at will. This defense is pretty solid. Honestly, the offense is fucking this defense more than anything. So I think it's a decent test for Ohio State's offense, but Ohio State's offense is so unstoppable. The two guys to watch that I know, well, I know one of them really well. I recruited him. Their corner, Josh Sanguinetti from down in South Florida. He's only given up 6 catches all year. He's a good player. He's never faced receivers like Ohio State's. It's not going to be a challenge. I'm just trying to give you some names to look for when you watch the game, because this should just be an absolute ass kicking. I mean, my prediction is to Ohio State to cover on the road, whatever it is. I think it's minus 20. It doesn't matter what it is. They're going to cover whatever Vegas thinks they're going to do. But the other guy to watch, who is their best player on defense, their linebacker, Michael McFadden, number 47. He's their blitzer, second leading tackler, not a liability in coverage. He's a really, really solid player. So he's someone to watch out for. I just want to give you some things and keys and tips to the game. So Ohio State should roll, should handle business, and excited on Tuesday to talk about kind of where Ohio State is at, especially with a big win against Indiana. But I just wanted to give you that little preview. But enough about that. Let's get to the good stuff, man. Let's bring Darren Lee in here and let's get to the show. I lied. Before we get to Darren, I want to just remind you that, you know, our show is supported by certain companies, and if you show support to them, you are in turn supporting the show, and we really appreciate that. It's helping making this thing grow, and it is growing. You might not see it entirely, but it is growing, and you will see what I mean in the future. Just trying to get revenue up, income up, make some hires, and make it grow. But anyways, quick word from one of our awesome sponsors, one of our partners, MyBookie. Where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. That's why I always tell people to put your money down at MyBookie. The Arizona Cardinals have come out to a hot start with a big win over the Browns, right? The Chiefs have as many losses as they did last year. And with all these overs hitting in the dying seconds of a game, there's never been a better time to get in on the action. If you look at the games from Sunday, every 1 o'clock game, the favorite covered. It was one of the worst days in sportsbooks history for Vegas. Get in it right now with MyBookie. Don't miss out on a winning season. Head to MyBookie and use our promo code MENACE, and you'll get double your first deposit. That's promo code MENACE, so you can double your funds to double your winnings. Use our picks from Menace to Picks. Go to MyBookie and slay it. Right now, up 600 units. You'll kill it. And take a look at this weekend's NFL games. I mean, the Bengals got to go to Baltimore to take on Lamar Jackson. Do you like Joe Burrow to stay hot? Or are you going to take the Ravens -6.5? Great game to bet on. Or Monday Night Football. Will Mike Thomas return for the New Orleans Saints on Monday Night Football? It's great, great games this weekend to bet, especially with no ranked matchups in college football. Head over to MyBookie. Use our promo code. Get double your first deposit. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. All right, now welcoming on Menace to Sports, one of my favorite players that I had the opportunity to be around, and I talk about it a lot. You know, there's players that you directly coach, and I was fortunate because I coach special teams, so I got to coach a lot of players that weren't in my position group. But one of my favorite guys to see in the locker room, talk shit to, because he was a defensive player, I was an offensive coach, and we just had a good vibe going when he played for Ohio State and since. You know, I saw him after his rookie year in the NFL, his first-round draft pick, great Buckeye. Buckeye great, as I guess they call him. Darren Lee joins the program. Darren, thanks for coming on, man.
Hey, man, thanks for having me.
So I'm excited to talk about this. One, because there's a lot of I want to start off with your journey, and then we'll go into kind of Ohio State and get into a number of topics. But I want to start off with recruiting, because your recruiting story was different from a lot of people. I want you to kind of take me through being a star quarterback, basically a star player. I mean, not just quarterback. You did everything at New Albany, and how that recruiting process went, both with Ohio State and other schools, and just kind of how you ended up becoming a Buckeye.
Yeah. Tough process, as I'm pretty sure you knew.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that the fact that once we know for, you know, as hindsight's 2020, you know, I think that's why you went out and recruited Noah Brown, you know, bigger guy, etc., all that stuff, because you felt some type of way, like, oh, Darren Lee might should have been, you know, somebody on offense.
I peeped that for sure.
But for New Albany, blessed, fortunate, you know, to be there. Even great academic school, but you know, to be able to be part of what they are today. I don't know if you checked in or anything. You know, those boys are 9-0. I think they're going to finish the season 10-0. So I was blessed to be part of what we would deem as a program, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
So very blessed for that. And shout out to them boys, man. Y'all keep killing, man. I'm watching. Keep killing.
Heck yeah.
That whole process, it was kind of weird if you want to look at it on the outside looking in.
It was definitely different than most journeys, you know.
I mean, you know, honestly, we had 26 recruits in my class. I was the only one that had a story like that.
That's very true.
You know, I haven't heard anybody else's stories. And if there was one, hey, guys that are out there, hey, let us know. But I'm pretty sure I had the weirdest story. And I was 26 out of the 26.
Yeah, for sure.
No big deal. Not a big deal.
Nah, gives you a chip on your shoulder.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm blessed. I was blessed to even have that opportunity. So, blessed for that. The recruiting process was stressful in a sense, because I did have a sense of feeling that I belonged there, you know?
Yeah.
And I was just going to make it apparent. I wasn't going to let you guys deny me. And you started it off, even though it wasn't your position group. You did start it off.
Started it off.
And Fick had to bring it home.
No doubt. Well, I'll give the background kind of on our side of it. Darren was obviously somebody that we were heavily evaluating, just a dynamic player from the Columbus area. And he,
Pantone told me.
Yeah.
Pantone told me how, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know what position, but he's like, this kid's a baller.
That's what I said. They brought him in and they said, all right, this kid's, he's going to work out at receiver. We think he might be a receiver. So I did a one-on-one workout with me and Darren. And at the end of it, I was like, well, I don't think this kid's a receiver for Ohio State, but this kid is definitely an Ohio State level player. And so I went in a staff meeting and they were like, what'd you think of him? And I was like, said exactly that. I was like, listen, this kid, he's a scholarship player for us. I don't know what he plays, safety, linebacker, something. I mean, who knows what it is. But he's a scholarship level player for us, and we need to figure out what position, or just offer him and let it figure itself out. And then Luke was like, you know what, let me work with him. And then Luke worked with you in the afternoon session. I think maybe even the DB coaches did too. And
man, had Ryan Shazier standing outside of him. Oh, man. And that was the day Von Bell was there.
Yeah, right? And it's like, what is going on right now? So obviously ended up offering him, as he said, the 26th, I guess, commitment or offer out of 26. And there's a couple.
I meant rank.
Yeah, right. And I think there's a couple other stories like that. Malik Harrison's one, who was really a raw basketball player that I also, I said a similar thing. Luke had me go watch him play basketball.
What we call him, Freaky Leaky.
Yeah, and I went.
Luke, I was just speaking more so in my class.
No doubt.
Freaky Leaky is the same story. Terry McLaurin.
I mean, there's a bunch of great stories of successes of that process.
So proud of it.
It's awesome. So Darren ends up coming to Ohio State, obviously 2013, redshirted 2014. I mean, you talk about making your presence known on the field, and you saw it in 2013. You saw it when he first showed up. Like, this kid's going to be one of the most explosive big athletes that we had at Ohio State ever. And so he comes on the scene in 2014 and tore it up. Talk to me, because there's a lot of comparisons about this 2021 team to that 2014 team. Talk to me just about the 2014 team, the Virginia Tech game, and what transpired kind of down that stretch before we get to the end, right? Just the meat of the schedule where that team really developed an identity, that defense came together unbelievably. Just talk to me about that process and how that season went.
Well, I think for that season, that process went, and as much as you know, we spent the spring and the summer preparing for Navy.
Yeah.
And you got to prepare for Navy.
Oh, yeah.
They run a different, you have to be precise on their scheme. And so we weren't practicing a new defense because we got a new D coordinator, Chris Ash.
Yep.
We didn't practice that. We didn't practice, you know, our calls, however many calls it may have been, but we did not practice it. And, you know, we came up to Virginia Tech and they were, I'll be real with everybody. Like, they were bound to kick our ass.
Yeah.
You know, and they were bound to, and having the pressure for JT, six days, you know.
Yeah.
Shout out B. Millers. He had that injury in practice. Heartbreaking.
Heartbreaking.
So JT had to get ready in 6 days. I remember it perfectly and vividly. Like, you could hear a pin drop when that happened to Braxton.
Oh, there's no doubt. Talk about felt like.
And I know you remember when it happened.
Everyone does. Drop. I mean, it was probably.
You could hear a pin drop.
I mean, it was dead silence.
Dead silence. And so so JT had to, you know, had to be a man, had to grow up very fast in 6 days. And shout out to him as well. And he had to grow up in 6 days, and we had to come out there for Navy. I think we were down 19-6.
Yeah, it was a tough game.
It was a tough game. And the defensive part of just, like, what you have to read as your key, make the play, and you had to do that. And that was – I knew Chris Ash. I knew Fick. I knew they were stressed about it, LJ too, because if you just make – two steps to the right or two steps to the left is the wrong thing, they gas you.
Yeah, they crease you. Crease you.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, and you knew it. Because your offensive might have got.
I think that there was a record that year. I can't remember exactly what it was, but teams that played Navy the following week were something like 1-11. It was like everyone lost the next game.
I was about to say, like, everyone loses the next game after Navy. I remember that.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I remember that. So, having that, we pulled out that win out in Baltimore, and we pulled out the win, and then going to Virginia Tech, and shout out to everyone that attended that game. Like, I felt the ground shake. I could barely even hear the call or see the call. Like, it was loud. I remember the first possession. First possession is part of the most important ones.
Yep.
You know that as an offensive minded guy.
Yep.
And so it was shaking, and they had our number, but that was really when we were starting to get into our defense.
Yep.
And really starting to get into a rhythm of our defense or chemistry of our defense. And comparison to the team now, I mean, hey, Buckeye Nation, you know, whoever hears this, they're shaping up. Pay attention.
They are. And, you know,
these boys are shaping up. I can see it. I can see it.
There's no doubt.
They're shaping up.
There's no doubt. And you know what's crazy is it, for different reasons, right? Because of the Navy game, you guys had to go through that in 2014, kind of learn the defense on the fly in the season.
And this year's Navy game was Oregon.
Right. And they switched coordinators. So now they're learning kind of similar but different defensive stuff during the year. It's very, very similar to 2014 on that front.
It's so similar, but you can see them. The reactions are quicker. They're reading their keys quicker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, D-line's getting off, but if it doesn't even matter if the D-line wasn't even getting off. If the back seven are, you know, reading their keys, we're fine.
Yep. There's no doubt.
You've seen it before. So I'm seeing it shape up. Buckeye Nation, listen to me. It's shaping up.
Yeah, it is.
It's shaping up. And so the comparison to that, and ultimately we'll see at the end of the season. That's what we're really going to see.
Yeah, you got to do it.
They got to do it, but it's, you know, we won't ultimately see a full comparison to when we played until the end of the season. Because that's when I feel that our defense is really fully clicking.
There's no doubt. I mean, the development on both sides of the ball, specifically on defense, but even on offense, just kind of the what Devin Smith did, the Mike Thomas coming on, I mean, just and Zeke, and I mean, just everything was phenomenal to see. And so it'll be interesting to see, like you said, we'll find out at the end of the year. Talk to me about that college football playoff run, right? So we end up beating the brakes off of Wisconsin, and that's one of the finest defensive performances that Ohio State has ever seen. And people lose sight of that because of
59-0.
And people forget they had Melvin Gordon, a Heisman finalist. Like they were a solid offense and a great run game, and you guys smothered them.
Absolutely.
Talk to me about the mentality and that you guys took to the field in that game, and really just talk about that game in general. I mean, Melvin Gordon was a Heisman finalist, and you guys held him to nothing.
So our mentality for that week. And I know you can attest to it because, you know, you saw how we practiced. Honestly, it's actually pretty amazing and kind of funny because we only had one call that game. it was over black. It was one call, and our mentality, you know, regardless, you know, and shout out to Costa, RIP, my brother. Costa died that week.
Yep.
And, you know, we felt some type of way. Like, that was a brother, regardless.
Yep.
So that added to the whole thing of just, you know, going out and dominating. We knew because that was the first year the college playoff took off. And we knew we had to make a statement because we were fifth at the time, if I'm correct.
Yep. Had to make a statement.
Yeah, we were fifth. We were fifth, and we knew we had to be top four. So we knew we had to pull out something, some type of performance. And we made it apparent. We didn't expect 59-0. No, I'm not going to say that.
Nobody did.
Nah, we weren't expecting that. And shout out to the offense. Y'all boys took off. y'all killed them. I mean.
Crazy.
Proof's in the pudding.
Well, yeah.
But for us as a defense, it was just really like, you know, shout out to Michael Bennett, you know, who really led it because he was a senior.
Yeah.
And he was just like, they don't ever touch the red zone.
That's it.
And I was like, all right. And I'm like, that's what we're going with.
That's what we're doing.
Going wrong with it. We already knew the quarterback couldn't throw. We knew that it was only going to be ultimately to the run game. And, you know, if you were actually to go back to, like, rewatch that film, Joey Bosa was so technical. Joshua Perry was so technical. That was a textbook technical of how you play the run.
That's it. It's all
if
about
you go back and watch it. That's what you'll see. So, you know, everybody really did their part.
That's it. And you know, that's what I,
you know,
when it comes to this team, this 2021 team, I think that's what's yet to be seen, right? You guys kept developing like they are, but at the end of the day, when it came down to those big moments, those huge games, there you had to answer the bell, right? There was something that needed to get done. Against Wisconsin, it was you had to stay gap sound, you had to be aggressive, you had to be physical to stop the run game. You guys answered the bell. Then Alabama presented new issues, right? They have Amari Cooper, they have Derrick Henry, like they're loaded. Totally different.
That was a different type of game.
That's a different beast right there.
Because they could actually affect you in the past.
Yeah.
Like the reigning NFL MVP.
He's kind of good.
Maybe kind of. You
know, maybe a little bit.
It's not like he's 6'4", 260.
Right. Man. He ran the fastest on field run of any position in the NFL this past game. So he can kind of run too.
Yeah. I saw that. Yep.
So just talking about that game, right? The Alabama game, obviously a huge win, and that was really the national championship. If you get down to it, they were a much better team than Oregon, and who I think whoever won that game was going to win it all. But there was an interaction in that game between a friend of the media, Lane Kiffin, and one and only Darren Lee, who, if you don't know Darren doesn't mince words. Like, even with full-time coaches, like, he always was respectful, but he always was going to tell you his opinion and was always going to say some shit. And you know what? If you didn't like it, he was genuine and he was never disrespectful. So tell me about that interaction with Lane Kiffin.
A much interesting one. What the world may not know is that there was already a premium put on Lane from our linebacker room.
Okay.
Because Lane Kiffin looks like Tosh, Daniel Tosh.
Yeah, Tosh .0.
If you ever watched Tosh .0. And put a premium on, like, Fick, we had like a little, we had like a little bit from Tosh .0 from Fick. You would play that in the meeting before we would get into our meeting. And it was hilarious. You know, it loosened the mood because Daniel Tosh is hilarious.
Yeah.
But he also looks like Lane Kiffin.
Yep.
And so it was hilarious to us. But me, like, I was sitting in the back, the Sam linebackers, they're sitting in the back. You know, I'm just sitting back here and I'm peeping. I'm like, And at that point in the game, when I said something, ladies and gentlemen, which I still can't tell you.
You got to let him know what it is. You got to let him know what you told Lane.
I can't. You know, I can't do it. I can't do it yet. Maybe on the right terms. Maybe I would.
That's your information to share. But I know what you said.
I know you know what I said. But at that point in the game, why I even said what I said, you know, that's when we were really like to keep the momentum. And if I can instill any type of or make you feel some type of way when you're the O coordinator,
yeah, get under his skin a little bit.
Get under the skin a little bit, exactly.
I'm not trying to disclose anything because we can move on. But the easiest way to do that is talk about somebody's mother or wife, usually, right? That's just the easiest way. That's all I'm going to say about it.
Easiest way or their children, but also like those are the main two points, and you can do with that as you will. definitely affected. I don't know an offensive coordinator that walks on the field and tells a play to his main players as if I'm not standing right there.
Right.
And I hear it. And that's what happened with the Von Bell pick. You know, I told him, I'm like, hey, front left pylon, it's going right there. OJ Howard.
He literally just said it right in front of me. Von Bell. That's hilarious. Well, good job, Lane.
You know what I mean? And so it's like, I knew at that point once I was able to, like, you know, he was dumb enough to do that.
Yep.
Idiot. Like, what an idiot. I don't, oh my God. I've never seen Luke Fickell come out and tell the call to us.
Right.
It was stupid. And I'm standing right there and I could hear it. All I do is turn around to number 11. I'm like, going right there. Bet. He's like, okay, bet. I got you. OJ Howard's trying to run the crossover route. Von Bell.
Done.
Fuck Oz ball. And I'm like, after that, and that was after. You know, I said what I said, and that's how I knew. I'm like, oh, yeah, we got these motherfuckers.
Right.
We got them. We got them. Oh, we got these motherfuckers. Let's go. We got them.
It was beautiful.
We got them.
Beautiful. And then, so obviously win that game in huge fashion. Great performance by the defense. Zeke ran wild. Devin Smith got off. Mike got off. I mean, it was just a big-time game. Win that game. Beat Oregon. Win it all.
Oh, my. First of all, Michael Thomas. That was one of the greatest catches I've ever seen.
That
toe tap,
unbelievable!
One of the greatest things I've ever seen.
And the throw by Evan. Good God!
Oh, Evan Spencer! Shout out Evan Spencer!
Just
shout out to you guys' podcast, Josh Perry. But dude,
dude,
that was a dime.
Dime.
And first of all, hell of a call.
Hell of a call. Hell of a call.
Hell of a call.
Wild.
Going into halftime, that's a momentum changer. That's how you shift it.
And never would you have said, because that was my baby, that play was. I mean, we ran it against Michigan State. Obviously, all three of my guys.
I'll be real with you. I knew you had something to do with that call.
That's just some shit I would do, right?
With that call.
that is just some shit that I would do.
I knew you had something to do with that call, Zach.
But, hey, when you run a trick play, you obviously want him to be wide-ass open. And I don't think anyone in the world would have said, hey, if Mike Thomas is covered, like really covered, do you want Evan Spencer to try to pinpoint accurate throw this and have Mike try to make a toe tap catch? You'd be like, fuck no, absolutely not. Just throw it away. Like, get it out of here. Don't.
Who's asking Mike Buss?
Yeah.
I think that's an all-pro.
That's an all-pro.
Is that Eddie Jackson or Marlon Humphrey?
You know what? I don't know. It might have been Cyrus Jones. Now that I think about
another
it.
Another one.
It might have been Cyrus Jones.
No disrespect to Cyrus Jones.
But hey,
wow,
that's all they had in the secondary was pros.
That's three. That's three first team all pros.
Yeah, and Landon Collins. What do you mean? That was their safety.
That team. What they have? What y'all leave the papers in the front of our doors?
Yo,
the team of the century.
The team of the century, right? All right, so that obviously was a big time season, huge. I mean, just a magical season for how it all happened, and we got it done, got the job done. Now I want to talk about what should have been the most dominant season in the history of Ohio State football and a repeat national championship team. Talk to me about 2015.
If anyone would want any indication of what, and pardon my French, ladies and gentlemen, but how you were going to know we about to take the fuck off. Oh, Braxton spin move.
Right.
Oh, my God. That was, I saw that. I'm like, yep, this is ours this year.
It is. It was. Should have been.
This is ours. Virginia Tech thought they got off with one, not knowing that the following schedule, the following year. Oh, we were coming for that ass.
Oh,
are you kidding me?
There was no chance we'd lose that game. No chance in hell.
Oh, my God.
So obviously that we start the season that way, and everything is really, I mean, we're killing teams, maybe not as much as we should be offensively, but we're dominating teams. We get to Michigan State, obviously a horrible weather day. We decide to not hand the fucking ball to Zeke ever, and just completely fuck up one of the most magical things. But tell me about behind the scenes. What was the feeling like in the locker room of the coaching staff, the offensive coaches, Ed Warner, just kind of what was the feeling by the players as you guys are watching what should be your kind of send off into the sunset get ruined by dysfunctional coaches, basically?
Well, first off, man, you know me. I can only insinuate, but it's at the same time. And hell, even JT knew it. You know, you ain't running a quarterback draw at 3rd and 16. You're not giving Ezekiel Elliott, feed me from the Cowboys, 8 carries the entire game. That's insulting just off rip. That's insulting our ring. That was piss poor.
Awful.
It's raining. Oh, really? Make another excuse. What Mick always say, if you slip, anybody can slip.
Yeah, great players don't slip, right?
Anybody can slip.
Well, you know,
JT or Cardell could have made a throw. It was not raining that fucking crazy.
Well, I mean, and let's not forget, Michigan State's backup quarterback was throwing the ball. I mean, at least he was attempting it, right? Ooh, we weren't even attempting it.
It was the backup. That makes it worse. Like, our defense was doing enough to make sure that Michigan State wasn't getting off. And you saw me, man. Like, I was losing my shit in that locker room.
Oh yeah.
I felt disrespected.
Well,
I
think every player did. I mean, I remember my first position meeting that Sunday. You know how those Sunday position meetings are, where you watch the film, and obviously after a loss, that's a bitch, and you didn't have to deal with many of those career.
It was that team meeting. As soon as Urban said defense, I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm like, as good as we are automatic for 3 touchdowns. I felt that was the standard.
It is at least the standard, right? I think
I felt it was the standard. We held them to 14 points in the last 3 seconds. So, I mean, shit. What else you need, coach?
Right.
Damn.
Well, here's another thing that isn't talking. Well, I guess because people weren't there. You and I were there, but just talk to me about how Urban reacted, like how he was at practice and the whole. It's a rivalry week, right? Right. We played Michigan the very next game.
We were going to team up north. It was you had to turn the page pretty quickly. And I'll say this for Urban, like he also knew like that was going to be tough because the committee, we already had the feeling and the vibe at the time and how much we were popping. Like the committee wasn't really rocking with us.
Yep.
So you lose one game, you ain't getting in. You know what I'm saying? Like we knew that. Everybody hates Ohio State. They hate us because they ain't us, dog. Like, that's why. Like everybody hates us, but that's cool. But he knew how he had to be, and he's pretty new. It was kind of shocking.
I always said he acted like a little kid that got like his puppy dog stolen. Like he didn't didn't have energy. Was like moping around all week at practice. Even in
quiet, he was quiet.
Quiet
practice.
quiet every practice, quiet with the coaches. Like, he would sit in there, watch film with us, not really say much, and then just like get up and leave and go sit in his office or talk to Mick. It was just bizarre. He just wasn't, he wasn't coaching. He was just like moping about.
Pissed. He had a right to be pissed, but at the same time, it's like, yo, we got a team up north. Like, you know, we can't lose this fucking game.
Yeah,
you
know, no doubt. No doubt.
You know the rules.
And you got to bounce back. That's your job as a coach, right? He was really, what he was he felt like he let the players down by hiring Ed Warner, and he knew it was a mistake. He knew he fucked it up and lost the game, and he just couldn't live with himself because he knew it was his fault. It wasn't that, you know, Darren Lee missed three tackles or JT threw three picks. Like, it wasn't any of that. It was he screwed up. That's why he was acting like that. And it was wild to see, because you'd think he would have bounced back. And he didn't bounce back until he watched you guys beat the brakes off of Michigan. And that brought life out of him again.
Oh, and he knew that. And it was actually five tackles. Ladies and gentlemen, I missed five tackles.
You did not miss five tackles that game.
A lot of those were on me.
I promise you, you didn't.
I'll be accountable. I'm accountable. in that part of our who we were as a team. That was our culture.
Yeah, that was accountable. That was it. That was it.
And I did. You know what I'm saying? But we have way much in our arsenal for that game in Michigan State. Oh, now,
no doubt.
Urban was able to act like that week because he knew we were about to beat the piss out of him.
Yeah.
You know, I walked up. If you can walk up and start, if you can start a game, if you go on YouTube or anything, ladies and gentlemen, you can go up. You can see how, you can see me walk up to that line. And maybe none of you have said, or maybe none of you have heard, but I walked up to that line for the first play of the game. I looked at them. I looked, and it was Kyle Kalis's ass. I remember him. I looked all of them in their face. I was like, God cannot save any of you today. I'm like, and run the play.
And you know what? He did not. God did not save him.
We beat the shit out of those boys.
Beat them to death. So
we
that
beat the hell out of them, and it was great. It was fulfilling. But I think what really, really, really hurt us for the stung was, or what the stung for us as a team was when we watched that game, Alabama, Michigan State.
Oh,
that
yeah.
was what. That, oh, dude.
Crush, woo! Crush your soul. Crush your soul. Here's another thing.
What was it 41-0?
It was fucking disgusting, is what it was. Disgusting.
41-0 in the playoff.
Well,
I felt that after that time, the world knew. It was like, yeah, Ohio State should have been here. Should have given them the benefit of the doubt.
There's no doubt they should have. I mean, what are we talking about? So I didn't think about bringing this up, but I just kind of hit me that we also went on to beat the brakes off of Notre Dame in a bowl game. And nowadays, what you see going on in college football is there's no way that you, Mike, Zeke, Joey Bosa, none of you guys, if it was 2021. In that same scenario, most guys wouldn't play in that bowl game. It's a meaningless bowl game. Talk to me about the culture and why you guys decided to play.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe that was around the time that started becoming a narrative.
It had just started. Like, we had Bradley Roby sit out the Clemson bowl game in 2013 because he was looking at their receiver core and was like, yeah, I'm good. I'm not trying to kill my draft stock. And he was one of the first ones that did it that I really recognized. And then it started becoming a thing. But by 2015, that was a thing. And we didn't have one kid sit out that game.
All right. First things first. I'll be real with you on that 2013 because I was right there on that sideline. Like, first things first, and as we have seen over time now, Roby wasn't going to get busted. Trust me. Like,
oh, no.
Wasn't going to get busted.
No. Definitely
like,
not.
They got Sammy Watkins got 200 plus yards off of screen routes,
mm-hmm.
bubble screens, right?
For sure.
Like, that was it. Like, Roby wasn't scared. If anything, we got to try and have kudos for and feel sorry for would be Carlos Hyde and Braxton Miller.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Like, they did everything. They kept us in the game.
Oh, there's no doubt. There's
no doubt.
They kept
us in the game. But, you know, in regards to that, I don't know what was going on behind the scenes. I had food poisoning. I was dealing with enough.
I forgot about that. Half the team had food poisoning. That was crazy.
Yeah.
I forgot about that completely.
And fuck Texas Day Brazil. Fuck them.
Texas Day Brazil was the cause.
That was exactly where we went, man. Yep. And we went as a team. It was that team dinner.
So tell me what went into your decision to play in that game? Was it just the brotherhood, the being out there with your guys? Was it just you wanted to beat the shit out of Notre Dame to show everybody that we should have been in it? What made you guys decide to play in that? What was basically a meaningless game?
It was scary because you know how social media wants to try and put out some type of narrative that doesn't exist for really any team. It's just some new narrative. So it was in the minds, but it wasn't like something that's on the front corner of our minds. You know, it was our last game. We knew it was going to be our last game together.
Yeah.
For a lot of us, the one that added to the point of what people said or for the fear of playing in the game, Jaylon Smith.
Yep. I was just going to bring
him up. Get hurt. That made everybody like, yo, like, okay, whoa,
like oh shit,
whoa. Whoa.
Yeah.
And then Bosa getting thrown out for quote unquote targeting, whatever that fucking rule is now. I don't even know what that rule is now anymore.
I don't either. I don't know how you play
defense.
It's almost
like you can't hit nobody.
It really is.
It was disgusting. And then, so we saw those both instances and we were just like, all right, let's just all make the safe, but right play, handle your job, but make the safe and right play.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it was, I wouldn't say we were like numb, but we were just like, it was like, whatever, fuck it, because we were in the national championship game and we just watched the Bama game with Michigan State, and we felt like, you know, everybody knows we should have been in that game.
No doubt.
And so that's how we felt, but it was make the safe decision, as in, you know, it's a secure tackle. Don't make the kill shot. You know, the kill shot got thrown out once Bosa got out, which was absolute bullshit.
Yeah, hell yeah.
I stand on that to this day. Like that, and we haven't figured out the targeting rule since.
No, they still haven't, and they never will.
And that game was what, 6 years ago? Like, come on, dude.
Like, what are we talking about? Right.
So, it was just like, hey, let's end the season on a good note. Send it together.
And that's what you guys did.
We know we're not going to be all on the same team probably ever again.
Yep. There's no doubt.
And if I'm correct, we haven't been, you know?
No doubt.
So it was just, let's end this on a high note and let's destroy DeShone Kizer.
And that is what happened. Well, I want to switch gears just for a minute and talk about right now, one of the hottest tickets in the country is the Cincinnati Bearcats, number two in the country right now. Luke Fickell has those boys play. And I just want to hear kind of from a player who was really close with closely coached by Luke. I just want to hear what is he like? Like, why are those players playing so hard and how was he to play for?
So correct me if I'm wrong. Luke Fickell was an interim head coach at a point, right?
Yeah.
Because Jim Tressel was making a decision to be a real person, hold down his players.
Yep.
I still don't respect that decision that was made by Ohio State University to this day.
No, absolutely not.
And Gene, if you hear this, hey, call me. You got my number. You got my number. Like, I didn't agree with that. I thought it was bullshit. So, Fick had that run was 6-7, and that was the last time that we lost a team up north.
Yep.
He figured it out once we won it all. To be a head coach, that is.
Like how to do it? Yeah,
he figured it out.
For
like
sure.
Those boys are rolling. They've been rolling for like 3 years now.
Killing it.
I personally think, my opinion, I think they're gonna be in the football playoff. People try to sit there and say when they played Georgia, when Fick goes back to the drawing board on stuff, he's very flawless. Remember that Steve Miller interception in the Bama game?
I sure do.
Fick was calling that out like three and a half weeks in advance.
I believe it.
He's like, when it's third down and medium, this is what they're going to do, so this is what we're going to call. And, you know, we didn't scheme shit. We played one call.
Yeah.
Two blitzes.
What do you mean?
We didn't call shit.
It was press quarters 90% of snaps. Like, what?
Which we have not done since.
No, we haven't. That is a fact.
We don't press no more, no. Which is egregious.
It really is.
You get all these top corners, but they can't press. I'm like, what the fuck do you think it's going to be like in the league?
Right. There's no doubt.
Odell Beckham, Julio, Devontae Adams. You want to play 6 to 7 yards off from them? Man, get out my fucking face.
Nobody
get out my face.
Nobody
you
pays
can't do that with those guys.
No, nobody pays millions for a cover three corner either.
The quarterbacks are too good. Like, no, absolutely not. The hassles are slimmer.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
Quarterbacks can make those throws. So Vic was very damn good at, if he had, like, you know, a slip up here or there from how he played, was the only reason how he would feel that way was only because he was just trying to speed up Raekwon's growth.
Yeah.
Because he was just coming out of high school.
Right.
And that's a lot of pressure to put on a kid, man.
There's no doubt.
Me, Joshua Perry, Tyvus, Vaughn, we did our best to make sure it would be a flawless and smooth transition. And shout out to Curtis Grant, because he also helped in that.
Oh, no doubt he did.
Big you know what time. I'm saying? But Fick was trying to speed up the process. That's how sharp he is. But Fick, he knows how to keep things simple. And that's why Cincinnati keeps winning, because it's keeping things simple.
And just let him play, right?
It's simple.
Let him play.
Let them play. And that's why I think our guys are shaping up now. I think they chopped down the play call list.
Well, they
I don't know how those defensive meetings go. I'm gonna sit into one in this near future because I know what they got coming up. We got Penn State, Michigan State, and team up north.
Oh, yeah. And then Iowa probably.
I know what they got coming. And I think, what are we all, top 12?
Mm-hmm. All of them.
All of them.
Top 11.
I peeped that. I'm not stupid. I see what's coming.
Hey, listen. People can accuse you of a lot of things. Being stupid is not one of them.
Oh, God, no.
So.
Here it comes. Here comes the counter. Told Raekwon we played Michigan State 2015. Third and six or seven. Quan. Option. Here it comes.
Yep.
Just hit the quarterback. I'll take care of the pitch. There Navy. Navy.
You got to be on it versus Navy.
You know what I'm saying? And, you know, but it was the same concept, and I peaked it.
Yeah.
That's okay. We failed on the play. That's okay.
Well, you used to piss us off in practice because you knew our offense so well. You'd call shit out and beat the ball to the play. You'd be like, hey, fuck you, Darren. Stop doing that shit. We're trying to run a play here.
aside Mike being pissed about the corners holding.
Oh, yeah.
Because they pressed.
Yep.
But aside Mike being pissed about that, that was another thing that pissed Mike off.
Oh, yeah.
And I hope you know, as a defense, we love pissing Mike off.
Oh my God.
We loved it.
If I could find the practice clips of how many fights he got in, because you guys, you knew you could get him going and you wouldn't stop.
But that's why Mike's so fucking great, dog.
No, there's no doubt.
He got a Chris Vaughn, Marshawn,
yep.
Malik, like Garyon. Bruh, what? Mike had to go. Mike was going against top tier.
Top tier.
Every day.
But what people don't know is you talk about, that's top tier players. Top tier talkers are you and Von Bell.
Really? Vaughn was a talker like that? We didn't hear Vaughn talk like that on the D.
It would be in like 7-on-7, one-on-one, stuff like that, where he would be chirping at Mike. He could get Mike going. Vaughn could. You and Mike could. Vaughn could.
First of all, it was so easy to get Mike going.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Stop it.
That's a fact.
It was so easy. For me, what I made it, how I knew if I got to your receiver core, is if I could get Jalen going.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah,
that was who I was. Let me see if I can get on your skin.
Well, you also were in the slot where Jalen played, so you were going against Jalen.
I was always in the slot. When the fuck was I ever off the fucking field?
Right, that's a fact.
When was I ever off the field? We never went nickel. They go nickel now. They go. Well, they do all that shit.
Yeah, but to be honest with you, you were one of the most explosive linebackers that I've seen. I mean, we didn't need to go nickel because who are we going to put in? Someone that's like faster than you? Like that, it didn't make much sense, right? Like if you get a bigger Sam linebacker, you need to go in nickel or a slower Sam linebacker. You got to go in nickel at some point or else they'll just get run by. Like you look at last year's linebacker corps at Ohio State, they had to go nickel. And honestly, they didn't against Alabama. And that's half of what killed them is they have tough Borland trying to cover Devon.
Nickel in the total of that year of 2014 going to when we won a national championship, killing that trophy six times.
Six times in nickel. How about that? But
six.
It's what happens when you have a nickel, but he's the size of a linebacker.
You know what I'm saying? It was all PTSD from that Clemson game, man.
Yeah, it was.
Sammy Watkins gave us nightmares.
Nightmares. Well, now
how do you get 200 yards off of bubble screens, my dog?
Crazy.
Insane. And Tyvis Powell did his best job.
Yeah, he did. He did.
Also injured, which no one knew. He was also injured.
Yep, no doubt. Well, I want to kind of end the show, but before we end it, I want to make sure we get to former player, former teammate of yours, former player of the program who was, you talk about another one of those characters in the locker room. Injuries kind of prevented him from having a great career, but you talk about a dude in the locker room that people loved is Devin Bogard passed away. And I know you specifically wanted to make sure you shouted him out and said something because I know you guys were tight.
Absolutely. Yeah. Tight. And it was tight before he got into our room. And really Bogey was the pulse of our room.
He was that
like,
dude.
Aside Curtis Grant, he was the pulse. Because it was raw. You felt the game raw around Bogey.
Yep.
You know, and Bogey never made no excuses. Bogey, for a situation medically, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
Getting injured. He never made no excuses. He never complained. He never bitch and moaned. And to be honest with you, shout out to all them Glenville boys.
Yep, for sure.
And if any coach hears this, we need to go back and get some more.
That's a fact.
I don't want full family guys. I need Devontae Smiths, people who get it out the mud.
Yep. That's a fact.
That's what this team really ultimately needs going forward. And if any coach has a problem, if you hear this, you can call me. Go ahead and call me. I have no problem. We could talk about it. All the Glenville boys got it out the mud.
Every single one of them. And all of them dogs. Every one of them. Every
single one of them.
I mean,
there's no one I could go across the board and say that they weren't dogs.
No.
They were dogs.
I mean, you look
who
at...
Who the fuck wins the national championship with their third string?
Right. Crazy. He's a dog.
Hey, bro, it was from somebody from Glenville.
Yep. That's what it is.
You know what I'm saying? So, first of all, RIP, bro. You know, I know you're smiling down on us. I know not everybody's situation is perfect. You know, you had a son. Just know he's going to be handled, big dog.
That's it. That's real.
We got it, my dog.
Well, rest in peace to Bogies, man. He was a real one for sure. But I appreciate you, Darren. Thank you for coming on, man. And if you're not, hey, I don't know what you got going on for Penn State, but you got to come down and hang out with Braxton and I. We got our tailgate down there.
Absolutely. We'll see if we'll make some check.
All right, cool. Appreciate you, Darren. Thanks for coming on, brother.
Absolutely, man. Thank you for having me.
All right, I'll see you. All right, we appreciate Darren coming on. As always, one of my favorite Buckeyes that I had a chance to get to know and get, develop a relationship with. So hope you were educated. Hope you were entertained. Hope you enjoyed the show. And we will catch you after this average weekend of college football. You know, as we say, if you don't like it, go fuck yourself, San Diego.
Watches downfield. It's Olave. He's got a touchdown, Ohio State.
Why am I talking to you? You're not even in football.
Yeah.
Did you even play to the high school level? You took journalism. It's a bunch of nerds interrupting people who know what they're doing.
Goes to the corner, dives to the corner. He didn't get there. No, they say he did. And Indiana wins.
The commissioner could literally punt a baby with his wingtips on. I'm still going to watch on Sunday.
Looking for the deep ball. Touchdown, Ohio State, Garrett Olsen.
condone the man's actions, but it's football. I have to watch it. This is all I have.
On first down, it's Breece Hall. He doesn't go down. He might go all the way. He stays on his feet again and scores.
I wasn't going to hit a woman, but then that guy in the Ravens did it, so I guess it's okay.